This is, quote, The Matrix, a DCU's Batman fanfic written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd. With additional tags for alternate universe, no superheroes, alternate universe, bodyguard AU, alternate universe, mafia AU, Jason's the black sheep of the Wayne family, Tim Drake in leather pants. Jason almost chokes and spits out his first bite of breakfast when Bruce announces that he's gotten Jason a job. Dick looks mostly curious, slightly sadistic, when he asks, "Where?" Jason does choke when Bruce answers, "Drake Industries." Because this is starting to sound like a horrible, horrible spy novel, where one guy infiltrates the enemy organization for information. As a bodyguard. Correction. A horrible, horrible spy novel of corporate espionage that includes a tragic romance. To Timothy Drake. Addendum. To correction. Tragic romance that ends in suicide. Dick bursts out into laughter. Damien looks two steps behind him. Cass shoots Jason a look of utter, I pity you, but wouldn't take your place. And Alfred gives Jason a look for making a mess of himself this early in the morning. Jason's only defense is that one doesn't just get told that they're being thrown into the deep end and not choke on whatever is in their mouth at the time. You actually want to kill me, Jason wheezes out. Bruce looks mildly amused. Asshole. I hate you all. The thing about Timothy Drake is this. He's crazy. Like, straight up crazy with a side of sadistic. He already has a bodyguard. Said bodyguard looks like he could snap someone's spine with his pinky and maybe do it while ripping someone's insides out with his other hand. This bodyguard is glaring at him with his one eye as Janet Drake gives him some job details. Your only orders are to keep Timothy safe, to be by his side, Janet Drake says, and her eyes are, for lack of a better word, homicidal. You are now officially his keeper. Any injury he gets on your watch will be done triple to you. I don't care whose fault it is. I expect him to be in pristine condition. So you do not go after anyone. You don't listen to him when he tells you to go away. You don't get vacations. You don't get breaks. From the moment his eyes open to the moment they close, you are in charge of every breath he takes and every single muscle movement he has. Janet Drake taps her manicured fingers on her desk before adding on, and don't listen to Wilson. He's a cranky son of a bitch. Wilson, the one-eyed bodyguard, crosses his arms and smiles. So, Jason says, because he has a mouth on him and he's not really afraid to use it. Care to tell me about Timothy Drake? Crazy. Wilson, call me Slade, grunts. Jason can spot at least 4 firearms on him. Crazy, smart, reckless, manipulative, pathological liar. Small, breakable. Slade turns his head, just a little bit, so Jason can see his eye. Jason has a feeling that Slade is doing this for Jason's comfort more than anything. Rumor has it that Slade can see with his eyes closed or some shit like that. And if you so much as breathe wrong in his direction, I'll rip your balls off. There's really nothing appropriate to say to that. So Jason just blinks, shoves his hands in his pockets, and make sure that Slade can see how many illegal weapons he's packing. Sounds fun, Sunshine. Slade shakes his head like he thinks Jason is clearly in over his head. He's probably right. But Jason tends to pick up challenges and smash them into the ground with victory. He's awesome like that. He's cute, Timothy says. Did Mother get me a male stripper? It's not even my birthday. Oh, is she sending me away? Is this her way of making sure I keep quiet? She should probably know that is impossible. There's a certain twitch in Slade's eye that makes Jason wonder what happened to Tim's previous bodyguards. Hi, Jason says. I'm your babysitter. Timothy narrows his eyes, lips a thin line before he smiles. Lovely. For the next week, Jason slowly builds up his impression of Timothy Drake. Mostly, it's this. He's attractive. Insanely so. Not in the traditional sense. There's something that's just inherently off about him that sets Jason's instincts into overdrive. His mouth is too wide, and there's a duplicity to his eyes that makes him look stuck in adolescence. But his hands are beautiful, and Jason tries not to think about how pretty they would be on Jason's skin. He's high maintenance. What is this? Tim says, mildly horrified when Jason brings him the delivery box and pulls out the leather pants. I asked for black leather. That is black leather, Jason points out. Not the right kind. I'm sorry, Jason replies. You didn't specify. What, is this one too cheap or something? You scared it's going to somehow make you look like you don't carry at least $1,000 on you at all times? It wouldn't hide stains well, Tim declares. Give me leather that hides stains. He's petty. He's capricious. Not here, Tim says, wrinkling his nose. I know the owner. I don't like him. Jason gapes, incredulous, even as Slade has the driver move on to a different store. Are you fucking with me? I don't trust their food service, Tim huffs. Slade's lips curl up. It feels like there's a joke here that Jason doesn't get. All in all, Jason thinks Timothy Drake is a brat who looks good in a suit. But not much more than that. He moves into one of the guest bedrooms of Tim's loft. Slade lives on the floor below. Jason catches brief snippets of conversation between Tim and Slade, their heads bowed together, Slade's hand resting on the back of Tim's neck. It's not his business to listen, so he doesn't. But he is one curious fucker, if he does say so himself, so he does ask about it. Tim smiles. New guy doesn't get to know. New guy has a name. I know. Jason thinks about all the hidden weapons in this place. He's not dumb or blind. He can spot them. And he thinks about his brief stint in Blackgate. He thinks about the hard line of Bruce's disapproval when Jason screamed, "He killed my mom! I think I'm fucking justified enough!" And he thinks about Dick's look of utter hurt when he snarled, "You don't understand what it's like because you can do no wrong in his eyes!" Jason thinks about a lot of things that first week as Tim Drake's bodyguard. Like, why does he even need one in the first place? No, really? How the fuck did he do that? Jason wheezes, and Slade isn't in much better condition. They're both in the hallway, gasping for breath after chasing Tim around the building for a solid 6 hours. Tim is now happily typing away at his computer. Magic, Slade snarls through his teeth. I swear to God, this kid is the reason why my hair is white. Cool. Glad to know. It's a great look on you, Jason replies. If I broke both his legs, do you think his mom would be mad at me? Could you even catch him? Slade retorts, though he doesn't protest the violence. Because I've thought about it, and there is no situation in which I can actually get him to hold still long enough short of drugging him. What, you've thought this out? You think he's a terror now? You weren't with him when he was 2 and learning to run. Holy God. Jason can just see the little devil now. He imagines a Slade with less white hair and a Tim who is small and this fast on his feet. Slade claps him on the shoulders. And Jason mostly ignores the fact that Slade is worryingly close to some pressure points. You're a good kid. Thanks. That night finds them in Tim's loft apartment, getting clothes thrown in their faces. Okay, new guy, Tim says, throwing something sparkly and leather at Jason's chest. It's your first day, so you're somewhat off the hook, but you, Tim throws a finger at Slade's direction. You should know better by now. Jason shoots Slade his best, what the fuck, man, look. Slade looks extremely put upon. It's Friday. Jason resists the urge to make a Rebecca Black reference. Tim puts his hands on his hips. And? Friday is gay club night. And? Slade sighs. Tim folds his arms, cocks his hip, and raises an eyebrow. It's not so much a disturbing image as it is a really sexy one. This is actually Jason's life right now. Babysitting, spoiled brats who run away from their bodyguards, have a homicidal mother, and don't give a flying fuck about anything. And on gay club night, Slade recites, looking like every word is a poisoned blade struck straight in his gut. I have to take you to the club of your choice, and go into said club of your choice, and blend in. That's right. And how do you blend in? By... Slade's eye is definitely twitching. Looking the part. And how do we look the part? By dressing appropriately, Slade grinds out. And what does this mean? Club attire. That's right. And what are you wearing? Kevlar body armor, 4 different guns, extra cartridges, 3 side, 12 concealed smoke bombs, a taser, aside from weapons, a suit. And is this club attire? No. Go change, and bring new guy with you. Your shoulders look like they might match, so he could probably fit in some of your clothes. I have a name, Jason protests, even as he trails after Slade. Tim smiles, pats his arm on the way out. I know you do. There's something in Tim's eyes, though. Something dark and a little sad. Something that says, but should I use it? Jesus Christ, would you please pick a fucking club and stick with it, your royal freaking highness? Jason snaps, after the 5th club in about 2 hours. Because apparently, none of them are good enough for Timothy Drake. Tim blinks, flips some hair out of his face, and slides into the limousine. No. Jason shoots Slade a look. Is he serious? Slade looks oddly serene as he shrugs. He's serious. What are you even looking for? Jason says as he settles himself on Tim's other side. The first club was too crowded, the second was too loud, the third was too dark, the fourth was too alcoholic? What the hell? And the fifth was... It feels too... Well, it just feels too cheap. I'll know it when I see it, Tim replies, crossing his legs. His ridiculously sexy legs in leather that looks painted on. Like, why? Don't worry. Tim's smile is something feral, something sharp, something Jason doesn't understand. Slade covers a smile with his palm as he turns toward the window, something dark in his eye. I think we're getting close. Tim takes one look at the sixth club. A long line of people trailing out the front door and a beat that Jason can feel from the car. Narrows his eyes and smiles. When Jason first saw Tim in the papers a long, long time ago, Dick had said, "That boy clearly does not know how to smile." Jason had, at the time, privately agreed. Tim's smile is awkward and lopsided, strange and completely artificial. Smiles look wrong on Tim's face. With or without teeth, they just don't match. But this smile, it's feral. It's primal. It's dangerous. And it fits. It's a slow show of the glint of Tim's white teeth, the pull of his narrow lips, and the darkening of his eyes. It's something that makes Jason's stomach clench and makes the hair on the back of his neck stand on end. It's a smile that says, "Run, bitch. Run." When Tim moves, he flows. He walks like a different person entirely, flowing out of the car, all long lines and swaying hips that should look strange but don't. Tim walks straight past the bouncer, Jason and Slade following. Tim's eyes are half-lidded, dark, and a promise. He scans the crowd and skirts around the edges, eyes flicking over faces as he makes his way up the stairs to the balconies above. Jason watches Tim lean against the railing, eyes roaming over the writhing masses below. He is very still. The eye of the storm. "Found him," Tim says, voice low and clear. Crisp. Different. Not the laughing Tim from earlier, not the one he's used to. This Tim is dark. No nonsense, all business. Slade dips his head as Tim walks past him, remaining stationary. Jason is torn between following or waiting with Slade. Uncertain. He remembers Janet Drake's words and follows after. Tim doesn't seem to mind, just slips into the dancers. If Jason were anyone else, he'd have trouble keeping track of the man. But he's Jason Todd, and he's had enough experience tracking his siblings, thanks. He watches Tim dance with one or two people before making himself cozy with a third. Average height, dark complexion, styled hair, straight nose, a little on the scrawny side, not attractive, not unattractive. Average. And then he watches Tim slowly coax him off the dance floor and into one of the darker corners of the club. Distantly, Jason also tracks Slade moving around the crowd. Intercepting someone? People? Yeah, Jason can see Slade cutting people off, making obstacles. Herding. He's herding someone. More than one person. What the hell did you get me into, B? Tim leads the stranger out of the club, into the back alley behind it, has the other pressed against the wall. Not in the let's have alley sex way. No. Jason watches, unsure of what he should be doing exactly. Tim is just standing in the guy's space, his mouth close to the other's face as he whispers something that makes the man go pale and look flighty. Jason pulls out his gun. I'm going to let you go. Tim's voice carries over, hard and edged. And you're going to go home to your pathetic excuse of a father. And you're going to pay your debt, or I will take it from you. Tim presses his finger to the side of the man's jaw, traces his nail down to his chin, and then presses against the man's Adam's apple. You have 4 days. Tim steps back, in time for the door to burst open and for Jason's instincts to kick in and shoot whoever it is in the kneecap. The newcomer yells, and must be some kind of professional, because instead of going down, he turns and aims at Jason. Well, Jason isn't some newbie. This is what he does. Bruce was so disappointed when Jason dropped out of law school, but not surprised. So he shoots the guy in the face. Jason has a record that no one in his family is proud of. Except him. All families have their secrets. Jason is the Waynes. Slade comes out a second later, and there's the glint of blood on his gloved hands. He takes the scene in, looks at Jason, turns to Tim. I took care of the rest. Tim's mouth twitches up at the corner. Your mother chose a good one for you. Tim's eyes are on Jason. She did, didn't she? He sounds pleased. The man is still shivering up against the wall behind him. You should go home now. We're not giving you another extension if you're late. The man bolts. Tim rolls his shoulders, sighs. I'm tired. I'll get the car, Slade says, walking away. He tosses a glance over at Jason as he passes. I say we keep him. Well, I don't care what you think. Tim laughs, low and throaty. But I agree. Tim doesn't turn on the lights when he enters the loft. Just walks through the dark room with nothing but the light from the windows, the city and the orange night sky to guide him. This isn't something you can unlearn, Tim says, as he folds himself into one of the leather chairs by the floor-length windows. Jason takes a seat across from him. The light sends Tim's face into harsh contrasts. If I tell you this, you can't repeat what I say to anyone. And you'll never be able to go back to the way things were before. You're free to walk away from this. What happens if I do? My mother finds another bodyguard. And we most likely never see each other again. You can't tell your family about this. If you try, I will kill you. Tim pauses, folds his fingers together in his lap. Myself. Okay, you gonna quote the Matrix on me or something? Just tell me. Do you want me to quote the Matrix? Tim replies, an almost smile in his voice. Is this a yes or a no? Tell me. Tim studies him before asking. Drake Industries isn't like Wayne Enterprises. No, duh. Wayne Enterprises can do things because of power. Wayne is an old, very influential name in comparison to the Drake one. To put it simply, they have weight. Things get done when Bruce Wayne says he wants things done. People bend over backwards for the Wayne endorsement approval. It's one of the top businesses. And it's also one of the only clean ones, too. Relatively, of course. Tim casts a significant look at where Jason's gun is. Of course. Jason feels his mouth twist up. The Wayne business doesn't get its hands dirty. Of course, the occasional bribe or manipulation is to be expected, but nothing like what happens down here. Tim waves a hand among the smaller fish. As you can guess, Drake Industries is one of those smaller fish. And we're, to put it simply, quite good at what we do. And what is it that you do? Everything. Tim replies, long legs crossing. Lobbying, arms smuggling, hired hands, assassins, spies, thieves, loans. Drugs. Medicinal. Human trafficking. Only outsourcing labor. Okay, so, what do you do? Tim is very quiet before he asks. What do you mean? I mean, where do you fit in all this? Jason waves his hand, parroting Tim's earlier motion. Who are you in the grand scheme of all this? No one. Not really. Tim's eyes flicker to the side. His mouth curves. A jagged smile. Really? On no one who has slayed Wilson for a bodyguard? Because he doesn't seem the protecting type. No. Tim snorts. He isn't. That's what you are for. Slade is, well, to put it plainly, he's a mercenary. He kills people. Maims them. Tortures them. Whatever we pay him for. So what? You point, he shoots? Essentially. And me? What about you? Where do I fit in, if you already have the point-and-shoot guy? Slade isn't a protector. No. You are. Tim shrugs. That's it. Your job is simply to make sure I don't get killed. Or hurt. Jason is quiet, because there's nothing he has to say. Tim watches him, slowly unfolding and walking closer. He stands within arm's reach, head tilted, hands loose at his side. A question. Jason looks up at him, reaches out and presses the tips of his fingers to Tim's wrist. Tim's lips twitch upwards. You're nothing like I thought you'd be. Oh? You're taking this all very well. For a Wayne. Tim says that last part with some sort of bitterness. I thought you Waynes were too good for us bottom feeders. Jason makes a choked noise, a cross between a laugh and a snarl. I could kill you in your sleep. Maybe that's how I'd deal. Jason shrugs, and Tim's smile emerges from the dark. A knife's edge. Kinky, Tim says. You know, I think you'll do really well with us. With me. Is that so? Tim hums, stepping closer. Lets Jason curl his hand around Tim's wrist entirely. Congratulations on making the team, new guy. I have a name. Jason rolls his eyes, even as Tim carefully slides onto his lap, presses his knife smile to Jason's jaw. I know. You should use it. Jason carefully slides his hand over Tim's waist, catches his fingers on Tim's belt loops. He feels the soft puff of Tim's laughter against his skin. Should I really? Tim's fingers press against Jason's chest. If you like, Jason. Did you know, when Bruce first told me I was going to work with you, that I thought it'd turn out like some horrible spy novel? Jason asks, as Tim calmly watches Slade break someone's fingers. Interesting. Tell me more. Tim draws. Jason bumps his hip against Tim's. Like, corporate espionage plus horrible cliche romance. At cliche, Tim makes a noise of absolute disgust. You thought I'd be cliche? Tim frowns, turning away just as Slade rips the guy's fingernail off. Tim's head snaps back and he glares. You made me miss the best part.
Oh yeah, nothing cliche going on here.
Jason rolls his eyes. But yeah, I thought it'd end in murder-suicide or something. And how do you think it ends now? Double homicide. Jason doesn't even hesitate to reply. Slade is going to snap and kill you, then me to get rid of the evidence. How do you know that it's not me who snaps and kills you and Slade? Tim digs his elbow into Jason's side, eyes laughing. Darling, you love me. Jason declares, over the broken sob screams from where Slade is really starting to get into it. Besides, if you were going to snap, you'd have done it way before now. Obviously. Tim watches him for a moment, before his eyes slide back to the interrogation. Which is, really, at this point, just torture. And leans against Jason's side. Obviously. Tim's fingers brush Jason's. Jason smiles, threads their fingers together, presses the back of his hand against Tim's thigh. Obviously. The end.